This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Tune into KBOO Wednesday, January 2nd at 6 p.m. for Treasures from the KBOO Archive, a monthly program celebrating 45 years of community engagement and activism, culture, and arts. Our first program features Vandana Shiva, recorded in 2002.
Chemical warfare is literally part of our everyday agriculture. It's not what happens with Saddam Hussein only. It's happening in all the fields. It's happening across the world. In fact, the chemicals were meant for war. The ones that I put into agriculture was a peaceful use of instruments of war.
That's Wednesday, January 2nd at 6 p.m. on KBOO Portland.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
On the KBOO Evening News, U.S. Senate and President Obama have a deal in mind for the fiscal cliff. U.S. same-sex marriages commence in Maryland. And a Shell oil rig grounded in Alaska. Good evening, I'm Don Merrill for the KBOO Evening News. A Royal Dutch Shell offshore drilling rig was grounded off the coast of Alaska on Monday. An exploratory rig, the Kulik, carrying 150,000 gallons of oil, was grounded on an island in the Gulf of Alaska by fierce Arctic swells and winds. The potential spill threatens Alaska's pristine waters. The rig also is one of two that Shell is using to explore oil production in the Arctic waters of Alaska. Tow lines had already been secured five times since the incident began last Thursday. This is just the sort of disaster environmentalists and conservationists have feared and predicted. The groups also expressed grave concerns about Shell's preparedness to handle such emergencies. Just after midnight this morning, amid cheers and the blare of New Year's noisemakers, the first same-sex marriages south of the Mason-Dixon line were officiated across Maryland. Gay marriages were approved by popular vote in Maryland last November, which, along with Maine and Washington, is one of the first states to approve the practice through the ballot box rather than by decree or legislation. Baltimore Mayor Stephanie Rollins Blake officiated seven ceremonies at City Hall in the wee hours of January 1st, including James Scales and William Tasker, partners for 35 years. Marriage licenses have been available since December 6th, but did not become official until the new year. A bill supporting same-sex marriage was passed by the Maryland legislature in early 2012 with the vocal support of Governor Martin O'Malley. Opponents, including the leaders of the Catholic Church, of which O'Malley was a member, gathered enough signatures to put the measure up to popular vote in the November general election. Bridget Ronnett, who married her partner in Baltimore, said, quote, "I think it's a great sign when you see that popular opinion is in favor of this." She remains hopeful that the federal government will one day recognize the legitimacy of same-sex marriage across the country.
Denver, Colorado opens up its first marijuana club Tuesday since the drug became legalized under the Amendment 64 in the state of Colorado back in December. Club 64 is a member-only social club that requires recreational pot users to register online and pay a fee to become a member and participate in the club's establishment. Marijuana is not yet legal to have in possession or to be sold commercially in any business until the state legislature establishes laws governing licensing and selling of pot, which mandates should be in place by 2013.
The U.S. Senate has passed legislation to avert the so-called fiscal cliff, a patchwork of spending cuts and tax increases designed to reel in the country's budget deficit should Congress fail to act. The bipartisan 89-8 vote took place in the pre-dawn hours on January 1st, technically after the fiscal cliff deadline had passed. The bill goes to the House of Representatives later today or Wednesday. Some economists have bemoaned the deal, saying that it places far less of the burden for deficit reduction on the rich than on the poor and middle class. Robert Reich, Paul Krugman, and others have pointed out that if President Obama is willing to back down in his negotiations with Republicans to avoid the most reversible fiscal cliff, it does not bode well for the upcoming debt ceiling negotiations later this month. In the deal, taxes on the wealthiest 2% amount to half of what Obama wanted going into the negotiations. Tax cuts for the rich have been extended permanently, while tax credits for the poor and middle class have been extended only for 5 years. In all, the deal leaves most of the pressure of reducing deficit on the shoulders of the poor and the middle class, though tax burdens and reductions in public services. The deal does not address the debt ceiling at all, paving the way for a new round of brinkmanship as the February 28th deadline approaches, at which point the U.S. will have to raise the debt ceiling or else be in technical default. Given the president's willingness to compromise extensively in the fiscal cliff battle, liberal economists worry that the Republicans will vote back until they can get the Democrats to agree to reductions to public programs such as Medicare and Social Security.
Six Pakistani women and one man were shot to death as they returned home in a van owned by their employer, a private aid group called Support with Working Solutions. They were attacked by a man on a motorcycle, and five of the women were primary school teachers, and the other two were health workers in the Pakistan district of Wasabi, an area affected by both poverty and militancy. One child survived. This is one of many recent retaliations by militants in a campaign against aid workers who believe that polio and measles vaccinations are a cover for international espionage. A small business in Oregon will be facing an average 5% rise in health care premiums under the new Kaiser Permanente health plan of the Northwest. The insurance provider filed the rate request with the state's insurance division. The new rates will affect more than 32,000 employees of small business in the state. Some people will see reduction in rates depending on age and other factors, while others may see premium hikes as high as 9%. There will be a public hearing on January 28th to take comments at a place and time to be named later and online. And online comments can be given to Kaiser for 30 days prior. The rate hikes would go into effect next April.
And now, as an end of year special from KABU News, we present you a year in review from the KABU News staff.
In January 2012, the biggest Oregon stories of the month seemed to revolve around the Occupy movement. In early January, six members of a small Occupy group in Southern Oregon appeared in court for occupying the office of Congressman Greg Walden.
We needed all that, but in terms of the unemployment side, it's important to do. Look, as bad as it is in Southern Oregon, it's even worse in Central and further out east.
And in mid-January, Cameron Witten, an Occupy activist, announced his intention to run for Portland mayor.
Fortunately enough, we have had Occupy Portland happen, and it's really brought to light the fact that money is so integral to politics right now. Mm-hmm. It is a huge concern. Mm-hmm. And so luckily that the media is now aware that they can't keep doing this anymore, that people really want the voice of the people to be heard. Mm-hmm. And so I've been able to come in during this critical moment and show that I don't have money, and I want to change campaign finance to make it sure that people can be represented regardless of whether they have money or not, because the people who are most affected are the ones who don't have money. So we're in a vicious circle.
Occupy stories made headlines across the U.S. too. 3,000 Occupy activists had a float in California's Rose Parade and carried a banner imprinted with the entire U.S. Constitution. A few days later, Oakland police took down an Occupy teepee on the grounds in front of City Hall. The city said it supported the movement but would enforce laws where safety and health was concerned. This marked a new strategy by cities to thwart Occupy efforts.
Hey, you better relax, man. Be cool, man.
Are you guys not allowed to speak at all? Is there a press officer on site?
You're supposed to be on our side, guys. Why can't you guys see that and get together and be on our side? And if you're going to stand on the other side, then hear me now. You're going to lose.
Overseas, a British High Court ruled that an Occupy effort that had existed outside St. Paul's Cathedral since October had to be shut down. But a bigger story was temporarily trumping Occupy. The Costa Concordia, a $450 million cruise ship, ran aground off the Tuscan island of Gigolo.
Comandante, parli a voce più alta, metta la mano davanti al microfono e parla a voce alta.
E inclinata.
Ho capito. C'è gente, ascolti, c'è gente che sta scendendo dalla pescaggina di prua. Lei quella pescaggina la percorre in senso inverso, sale sulla nave e mi dice quante persone e che cosa hanno a bordo. Chiaro?
31 people would die in one of the worst maritime disasters in modern times.
Police were the big story across Oregon in February 2012 in the aftermath of the shooting of a Fairview resident. 37-year-old Larry McKinney was shot and killed in the doorway of his mother's home by police after they responded to a 911 call. McKinney's mother said she called the police to intervene because her son was drunk and she wanted him out of the house. But when he appeared in the doorway holding a knife, police shot him dead. Police say he attacked one of them with a knife, an accusation McKinney's mother denies. A few days later, some people in southeast Portland protested the police brutality of Oakland police with a march that led to some littering and vandalism. While police and some protesters blamed the vandalism on the anarchist Black Bloc, others claimed the protesters were provocateurs who had not been seen at previous marches. And later in the month, a Multnomah County grand jury refused to indict Portland Police Sergeant John Holbrook and Officer David Scott for the killing of Brad Morgan as he threatened his own life on the top of a Portland parking garage on January 25th.
In U.S. news, prison inmates in Vermont manufacture the decals that go on police cars. And in a below-the-radar protest, decals made in 2008 were recently discovered to have small pig embedded in the insignia. Removing the insignias will cost the state about $800. But the bigger stories were about personal rights, anti-gay and anti-minority legislations that states either voted down, passed, or were attempting to pass. In Georgia, the state legislature voted down restrictions on assisted suicide. Minnesota voters were about to decide whether to allow or not allow same-sex marriage. New Jersey, Washington State, and Maryland were deep in the gay marriage or transgendered discussions. And Virginians were about to kill a bill requiring women seeking an abortion to first get and view the results of an ultrasound. And death row inmate Marcus Raymond Robinson, who was accused of killing a white teenager in 1991, was putting North Carolina's Racial Justice Act, a law that reexamines cases in which there may have been a high degree of racial bias, to rest.
Internationally, the newsmakers were in the Middle East with U.S. airstrikes on Yemen and the U.S. closure of the Syrian embassy as Syrian President Hafez al-Assad stepped up attacks on his own people. But the struggle in Tibet against the Chinese infiltration was again brought into sharp focus as a young man set himself on fire, becoming the 90th protester to self-immolate since the practice began being documented. And WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange promised that he would release a trove of confidential emails from the security firm Stratfor.
Locally, in March, the month seemed divided between focusing on rights for animals and rights for people. The Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife acknowledged the return of OR7, a GPS-tracked lone wolf that entered Jackson County from California, and the accuracy and reliability of projection for salmon populations was an issue for discussion by the state and the Northwest fishers. But humans didn't seem to get the same measured concern from the FBI as surveillance codenamed Seizing Thunder was found to have secretly targeted anarchists, protesters, and organic farmers markets in Portland and Eugene. The attention from the feds wasn't all bad for vets, though. The Federal Bureau of Housing and Urban Development awarded over $500,000 to the city of Portland and Clackamas County to support homeless vets.
Nationally, activists attempted to occupy a Washington, D.C. summit for the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, or AIPAC.
Point of Ross Levin is pushing forward.
Come on.
Meanwhile, the Citizens United decision continued to reverberate around the country. In Vermont, voters challenged the concept of corporate personhood. And in California, the state assembly endorsed a call to the U.S. Congress to pass a constitutional amendment to overturn the Citizens United ruling.
Internationally, the big news that began the month was a story of two French reporters who were smuggled out of Syria after they were caught in a bombing barrage by Syrian forces under the control of Syrian President Hafez al-Assad.
Bonjour, je suis Edith Bouvier, journaliste française en reportage en Syrie avec un groupe de journalistes. Nous sommes le jeudi.
The screening of the film Kony 2012 in northern Uganda by the nonprofit group Invisible Children was itself too controversial to continue and was shut down.
If you've been on Twitter or Facebook recently, you've probably seen a new campaign called Kony 2012.
It's gone viral.
1 million hits per
million
hour.
Times.
60
100 million people have now
watched. Social media at its best.
It's uniting people all across the world.
Is this the new way to move the world to action?
But this movie is not without critics.
Critics say the film manipulates the facts.
Simplifying the story.
Oversimplifying a wildly complex
issue. That the message is too late.
Joseph Kony and his forces have been significantly reduced.
Viewers complained that the film contained no Ugandans. It was too Western-centric, and it depicted events in the film with insensitivity. Joseph Kony is a leader at large and is part of the Lord's Resistance Army, a roving band that kidnaps children, making the boys fighters and girls sex slaves. The Cuban government squashed any hope of political reform on the heels of a visit by Pope Benedict in late March.
Se siente muy bien como y maravillosamente. Se siente feliz de estar en Cuba.
He seguido todo lo posible.
He seguido todo el programa.
montón de caras. Yo me sentí
muy bien.
Son las medallas del pontificado. Las medallas del pontificado, sí.
The Pope visited the island nation on the 400th anniversary of the appearance of the Virgin Mary to two fishermen and an African slave in Cuba's Bay of Hope. Cuba's economic minister said it would continue economic reforms, but political change is off the table, mirroring the path China has taken since the 1990s.
April showers is a good metaphor for Portland's preoccupation with its water in April. On the 5th, KABU aired a story about sketchy spending at the Portland Water Bureau. A lawsuit was brought by Citizens for Water, Accountability, Trust, and Reform, prompting the Portland City Attorney to acknowledge $120 million in potentially unnecessary spending. Meanwhile, there was an effort brewing to cover Portland's open-air reservoirs for health and security reasons, and at the cost of hundreds of millions of dollars. Not everyone thought that was necessary, especially not Portland mayoral candidate Scott Hernandez.
We applied for a variance to not have to cover the reservoirs, and the federal government told us there is no variance or waiver available for covering the reservoirs.
The EPA and Congress in the Safe Drinking Water Act does have a provision of waiver. You can ask for that. It will trump everything that you've said today.
It wasn't such a good month for civil liberties in the U.S. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled that jailers could conduct strip searches to include body cavity searches for any offense, no matter how small. Justice Kennedy said courts must defer to the judgment of correctional officers, while Justice Breyer and other dissenters said strip searches are an invasion of personal privacy for those arrested on minor charges. Alaskans said no to Proposition 5, which would have added sexual orientation and transgender identity as components of the current state anti-discrimination law. The loss came as a surprise after more than $300,000 poured into the support of its passage. In a late-night bill signing, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker signed dozens of pieces of legislation repealing civil protections for the state's women, from the equal pay law to abortions that were covered by state health insurance exchanges. In Chicago, a transgendered woman was found murdered, making her, according to Europe's Transgender Europe's Trans Murdered Monitoring Project, the 248th transgendered killing in over 55 countries since 2011. That number represents an exponential increase in such murders around the world since 2008.
Africa seemed to dominate the international stage in April 2012. Liberia was considering a law that would make same-sex marriage a first-degree felony and punishable by 5 years in prison.
Madam President, what's your position on decriminalizing homosexual acts in Liberia?
We're not going to sign any such law.
You won't sign any law to decriminalize?
I won't sign any law that has to do with that area. None whatsoever. We've got certain traditional values in our society that we'd like to preserve.
And the International Criminal Court convicted ex-Liberian President Charles Taylor on 11 counts of war crimes and crimes against humanity. He was found guilty of providing arms and ammunition to rebels in Sierra Leone in exchange for slave mined diamonds.
Housing seemed to be center stage for May in local news. On May 1st, 300 community members reclaimed the house at 523 Northeast Bryant for evicted homeowner Alicia Jackson.
Alicia, come on out and talk to the people.
Right, Alicia. Yeah.
Yay!
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
I want to thank everyone for coming out this morning and for all the support in the last 5 months since I moved back into my house. I would not be here without you. This fight is a testament to community support.
About 10 days later, Ms. Jackson tried to get her water turned on. On one hand, the Portland Water Bureau said it couldn't turn on her water because it said the property was part of a foreclosure action. But on the other, it said it is not connected to or affected by Wells Fargo's decision to foreclose, putting Ms. Jackson in a catch-22.
The rights of gay Americans in particular seemed to be the nation's focus in May. Early in the month, a gay staffer for Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney quit only 2 weeks after the campaign had hired him. Richard Grenell was highly qualified based on work he had done at the United Nations and with a degree from Harvard University, but he left, he says, because of hyperpartisan discussion of personal issues. On the other side of the gay rights divide, retailer JCPenney was attacked by the anti-gay organization 1 Million Moms for showing an ad depicting a lesbian family in their May catalog. The group called for a nationwide boycott of the store. In Virginia, an openly gay prosecutor was denied a judgeship by Virginia's House of Delegates. 31 Republicans voted against Tracy Thorn Begland. Virginia Governor Robert McDonnell issued a statement disputing the idea that a judge's sexual orientation had any bearing on their performance, though he didn't name Thorn Begland by name. But on an up note, a group of students attending Biola University, a private evangelical school in California, formed an LGBT alliance and publicly announced it, although its members were remaining anonymous to avoid expulsion.
As you know, Biola is not a place that is necessarily welcoming to the self-accepting lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer community, or we say LGBTQ for short. We recognize that there are some of you here that are both members of the LGBTQ community and students of Biola University. We hope that you receive a reflection of your own experiences.
Although the school's policy forbidding same-sex marriage remained unchanged, representatives for the school said it would only take action against students in same-sex relationships, not those who said they simply support same-sex relations.
The Middle East had the world's attention in May 2012, and most of that attention was directed at Syria, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Israel, and Iran. In early May, in Saudi Arabia, authorities used special court to bring charges against activists and suppress dissent. FSRN reporter Dorian Marina talked with Christoph Wilkie, a researcher for Human Rights Watch, about what the Saudis were doing. Meanwhile, Syrian forces killed at least 4 university students and wounded dozens more after storming a college dormitory during an anti-government protest at the University of Aleppo. In Egypt, unrest after the ouster of Hosni Mubarak continued and prompted the Egyptian military to institute curfew after growing violence in the Abbasiyah district of Cairo. Protesters were becoming increasingly distrustful of the military's promise to hand power over to a civilian government. Egypt opened polls later in the month so that Egyptians could elect a new leader, which marked the first open elections in 30 years.
June was the big month for big names and big doings in politics. In Oregon, June was when presidential candidate Mitt Romney made a fundraising stop in Portland and was greeted by a gathering of picketers. Closer to home, Oregon State School Superintendent Susan Castillo announced her resignation in part because legislation was passed to cut the position from the state budget by 2014. Governor Kitzhaber announced Ellen Rosenblum to be the state's new attorney general to complete former Attorney General John Kroger's term. And First Lady Michelle Obama spoke to the graduating class at Oregon State University and talked less about politics than encouraging students to focus on a simple and fulfilling life.
On the national stage, Oregon Senator Ron Wyden and Colorado Senator Mark Udall blocked extensions of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA, in part because information they requested from intelligence regarding the scope of surveillance practices was denied.
What this issue is all about is I believe there are 2 Patriot Acts in America. The first is the text of the law itself. And the second is the government's secret interpretation of what they believe the law means. And I believe one consequence will be an erosion of public confidence that makes it more difficult for our critically important national intelligence agencies to function effectively.
I also oppose reauthorization of the expiring provisions in the Patriot Act without significant reforms, and I believe it's critical that the administration make public its interpretation of the Patriot Act so that members of Congress and the public are not kept in the dark.
And the U.S. Senate rejected Oregon Senator Ron Wyden in his attempt to decriminalize hemp. Wyden argued that changing the definition would open up job opportunities, but the Senate didn't see it that way.
Internationally, Politicians in the nation of Denmark passed a marriage equality law decades after that Norwegian country was the first in the world to recognize same-sex partnerships. Meanwhile, Aung San Suu Kyi, the Burmese political activist and Nobel Peace Prize winner, visited Thailand and called for more transparency in her nation after the military leadership allowed some reforms. The Pakistani Supreme Court threw the Pakistani Prime Minister, Yousif Raza Gilani, out of office. And voters in Mexico went to the polls to choose a new president.
All the candidates promised to fight corruption, violence, and create jobs. And just to show that it's not over till it's over, the increasingly influential young protest movement is demanding one last debate, this time on the internet, where students will ask the questions. Mr. Peña Nieto says he won't take part, a decision that could erode his already declining lead.
July could be seen as a month when things of all manner pulled back or were somehow lost. Locally, Multnomah County announced that it would cut back hours at all of its libraries. Even though voters approved of a levy to fund their operation, it wasn't enough to stop the closures and cutbacks. A federal judge issued a temporary restraining order against the International Longshore and Warehouse Union after the ILWU was accused of precipitating a work slowdown in protest of changes in job classifications between it and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Union, or IBEW. Rallies were held in the St. John's Post Office branch in North Portland to protest the cutting back of hours at nearly 120 rural post offices in the state. The cutbacks were caused in part by Congress requiring the agency to fund its retirement program for 75 years in advance. And the city council voted to impose heavy fines on undocumented taxis. The move was made on behalf of legitimate taxi services that are already struggling in the current economy. Drivers of undocumented cabs will receive a first-time fine of $1,500, with subsequent fines being $5,000.
Looking at national news that focused on giving things up in July, a federal judge ordered the social media site Twitter to hand over messages